As China marks the 20th anniversary of its entry to the World Trade Organization, we assess its economic record. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Chi Santarelli in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. On 11th December 2001, China joined the most important multilateral free trade body in the world. China's WTO membership has helped it become the world's second biggest economy and lift millions of its citizens out of poverty. Two decades ago, Beijing pledged to open up its communist command economy and abide by international rules. But have its reforms gone far enough? Well, the answer is a bit more complex than a straightforward yes or no. Here's the BBC's economics editor, Faisal Islam.
The metrics are worth thinking about. Even as we take for granted that China is the workshop of the world, you know, its inevitable rise seemingly to becoming the world's biggest economy, because, you know, GDP in dollar terms up 12-fold, foreign exchange reserves up 16-fold, the amount of exports worth, you know, under 4% of the world economy, now 15%, and obviously the world's largest exporter over that past 20 years. Container ships coming in and out of China kind of doubled from 40 million to 80 million immediately with China's joining the WTO, and now stand at 245 million. And then obviously this is accompanied by infrastructural changes within China. 4,700 kilometers of highway in China. Now there's 161,000 kilometers connecting 99% of cities with a population of over 200,000. And then just to take one sort of commodity, key raw material that was re-exported, steel. China only became a net exporter of steel in 2005. And now its production went to 700 million tons by 2012 and is now over a billion. So exporting as much steel as the entire world did at the beginning of its membership, with massive implications for everybody and for crises we're seeing elsewhere. So the metrics are amazing. And now fears of ongoing cold trade war, as some of this settlement that integrated China into the world economy starts to unravel. At the time, in 2001, there's an, you know, what seems like a fairly extraordinary quote from President Clinton in retrospect. And he said that importing one of democracy's most cherished values, economic freedom, would basically inevitably lead to political freedom too. When individuals have the power not just to dream, but to realize their dreams, they will demand a greater say. Now, that did not work. That strategy failed. And as Charlene Barshefsky, President Clinton's trade representative, responsible for China's WTO deal, said yesterday, she says the idea you can't have an innovative society and political control is disproved by China's economic model. What we thought in the West was incompatible may not necessarily be incompatible. It is really quite an astounding reflection there from the former US president's top trade advisor.
China views its membership of the WTO as a win-win. But for the WTO, which faces increasing calls for reforms, have they truly benefited?
Well, I think the proof is in the pudding. And here, the WTO is being sidelined and the new director general has not managed to kind of reset things even under President Biden. And that's because, you know, it is politically consensus now in the US to question the WTO alongside, or as if you like, an agent of China's irrepressible rise in the world economy. And if your political aim, and it's said openly by US senators, but not so much by the administration, is to restrain that rise, to engage in some sort of economic kind of cold war, then it's difficult to see these WTO mechanisms functioning fully again. And I think what was interesting hearing some reflections on people that negotiated China's entry to the World Trade Organization is that China has been highly strategic about using the level playing field provided by that organization and using it in its bilateral relations with developing countries as well. And where there's a politics of trying to restrain that, I think getting the WTO back on track is going to be quite difficult. So there's a sort of story arc here that starts with China joining the WTO, leveraging that to achieve an extraordinary economic outcomes, not changing really its political freedoms, maximizing its economic growth, and politics in the US and to some degree Europe sort of rebelling against that. So WTO caught in the middle, frankly, and the world trading system looking shakier. So, you know, where we go over the next 20 years is somewhat more sticky and tricky than we may have seen.
Faisal Islam, the BBC's economics editor, thanks for your insights.
Thank you.
Here in the UK, the government has tightened coronavirus restrictions due to the fast-spreading Omicron COVID variant. From Monday, people are expected to work from home, and there are concerns the new variant could set back the nascent economic recovery. Official figures show that in October, the UK economy grew considerably slower than expected. Andy Verity has the details.
Economists have been predicting that gross domestic product would rise in October by 0.4%, but today's official estimates suggest that activity barely grew at all, up by just 0.1%. Activity in services was up, but in construction, business shrank, as it did in the oil and gas industries, hit by rising energy costs and a shortage of tanker drivers. The more reliable figure for growth over 3 months was also below most forecasts at 0.9%. While other countries have now fully recovered, the UK economy remains 0.5% below its pre-pandemic level. I'm the BBC's Andy Verity for Marketplace.
Let's do a quick check of the numbers. The FTSE 100 and European stock markets are broadly lower this Friday. Asian markets closed in negative territory. That's on speculation today's US inflation data may spur the Federal Reserve to roll back its stimulus. Now, here's a story for sports fans. A growing number of top European soccer clubs have been launching virtual coins or official fan tokens to cash in on their popularity. These can be traded for profit or loss, just like other cryptocurrencies. And new research shows that up to $500 million worth of tokens have already been bought by soccer fans. However, critics say the system isn't clear and remains largely unregulated. Joe Tidy reports.
Manchester City, Juventus and Barcelona are among 24 clubs in Europe's top five leagues now issuing or planning to issue club-branded tokens, a type of virtual currency. Buyers are promised club-based rewards, competitions and votes. Some think they're the future of fandom, but the tokens have proved controversial because of a lack of transparency and regulation. No clubs selling the products wanted to talk, but research from Protos, commissioned by the BBC, estimates that between $350 to $500 million has been spent globally on them, and they're being traded for profit. The data also suggests fans could be losing out. Some tokens, like Man City's and Lazio's, are currently worth 70% less than the clubs initially sold them for. Socios, which runs most of the token schemes, says it's up to clubs to make the perks offered to fans more appealing.
The BBC's Joe Tidy reporting there. And finally, we're taking the show back on the road. Here's our regular host, Victoria Craig, to reveal exactly where.
A couple of weeks ago, I asked you, what does 20% inflation actually feel like? It's a question that we really haven't gotten to the bottom of. So we decided to come find out ourselves. We're here in Turkey, where inflation is above 21%, and the value of the lira currency has dropped by almost half this year. So we're chatting with students, families, business owners, and people in the tourism and hospitality sectors to find out how they're making ends meet in this economy. Meet me right here on Monday morning for special coverage live from Istanbul to find out how.
Join us live or subscribe to our podcast. In London, I'm Lisa Chi Santarelli with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.